Okay, good morning, everyone. So we're going to start a new topic today. And as we'll see shortly, it actually relates to the Parsha as well. It's the topic of Bechiras Yisrael, God's choosing the Jewish people. It's a topic that really is very, very central to Judaism. Think about how many times we say every day, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, Birkas HaTorah in the morning when getting Naliyah, it's about to be Yantif, we're going to say Atar Bechartanu Mikol Hamim, in Avaraba, it comes up many times in these parshios especially. And what I'd like to think about with you, probably over the next couple of weeks, is what it means. We're going to explore questions like why we were chosen, what does it mean to be chosen, what does that imply in terms of God's relationship to the Umos HaOlam and our relationship to Umos HaOlam, and how should we view them? The notion of chosenness is one which is countercultural in today's world. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to study this topic, to correctly understand the Torah's perspective, especially in a topic where perhaps, as we shall see, it differs substantially from the modern viewpoint. I once read in an article by Rabbi Stolper that he asked Rav Huttner, what's the most important message to convey in chinuch nowadays? And his answer was, Bechiras Yisrael. Maybe it's because of this point, because of the idea that the very idea that we were chosen is something that is so problematic from a modern perspective. And so what I'd like to try to do is learn the sukkah with you and to better understand the Torah's perspective. And I think a good place to start is by looking at the first moment of chosenness in which Hashem chooses Avram Avinu as the founder of the Jewish people. Right at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem speaks to Avram and tells him that he's going to be the father of a great nation. And to appreciate how the nature of that Bechira, it's worthwhile, as the Maral notes, to contrast it to the Bechira of Noach. Noach, when he's introduced in the Torah. So the Torah tells us exactly why Noach was chosen. Ela told us, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedorosav, es ha'lokim isalech Noach. So Noach was a tzaddik, and then the pasuk continues, Vayomer Elokim leNoach, and Noach is selected to be the continuation of the world. We know exactly why Noach was chosen from the beginning, because Noach is a tzaddik. Compare this to the chosenness of Avram Avinu. Here we don't have an Avram was a tzaddik, Vayomer Elokim el Avram, or Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha. Rather, it's just Vayomer Hashem el Avram, as you see in your second source. I assume everyone has the Makoros. So why is it? We don't know why Avram was chosen. The Torah clearly, intentionally omits the reason. Our introduction to Avram Avinu, I guess his genealogy is introduced at the end of Noach, and in terms of his selection, it just says, Hashem chose Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, v'ascha l'gai l'gadol. We have no idea why. Now, to be sure, we find out in the coming prakim how wonderful Avram was, but that's never related in a way that seems to have to do with the reason why he was chosen. So how do we explain this discrepancy? The Ramban discusses it a little bit, but we're going to work on the Mahalich of the Maharal, which you have here on your third source, from Netzach Yisrael. Aval lefi hadvarim asher amarnu lecha, lo yikshe klal, ki etel noach lo haya rak bechira prati, va bechira pratit, hu lefi mashehu, va kol hu lefi mase tzidkus shelo. Noach was never chosen to father a nation. His bechira didn't really last beyond his particular mission. Noach was an individual. He was given a mission to build an ark and continue humanity. And when you're chosen as an individual for a mission, so obviously your choice will depend on your worthiness. So the Torah tells us why he was worthy. He was chosen, though, as an individual. Aval be'Avraham lo haya bechira pratit, rak be'umah ha'yisraelit. Avraham Avinu was not chosen as a prati. He was chosen to found a nation. Right at the beginning, it says ve'escha l'goy gadol, that Avraham Avinu was chosen to make a guy, make a nation, to make an ummah. And the bechira of an ummah goes well beyond the individual. If Avram was chosen because of his righteousness, well, he might have been righteous, but that says nothing about his children. It says nothing about his ummah and their worthiness. Because Avram Avinu was chosen to found a nation, then it's something that goes beyond his individual rectitude. And this is what? V'zeh bechira klalis. U'bechira kemozos ein tola b'maisa klal. When we're talking about a bechira klali, not prati, it's not dependent on maisa. V'lo b'chet. Ki ha'maisa hu l'prat. Individual actions relate to the individual. Maisa, either tzidkus or chet, but not to the uma. Not to the klali. Afki bevade is chos moyel, chos avos moyel, bekol makom ikra bechira bechira klalis bo uvzaro. Val yikshe ma she'amar lo betzid kascha ta ba la reshes vegomer leman hakimes adavara sher nishba la vosecha, bevade davar ze ma shehevi es ha'oso ador el ha'aretz haya tola bischos avos, vegam davar ze prati, because it was related to that particular door, aval ikra bechira shebachar Hashem yisborach be'avram, lo haya bechira pratis. When we're talking about the selection of Avram to be the founder of a nation, that was not a bechira prati. Rak shebachar bo v'zaru acharav bechira klalis. The lo haya bechira pratis. Shebechira pratis hu lefi ha-mekabel, v'im tishtane ha-mekabel yishtane ha-davar. When it talks about a bechira prati, so it depends on the recipient, and if that recipient changes, for example, he becomes unworthy, so then the selection will also be void. Ulakach yiturtza she'ela shelo hizkir akasa tzidkas Avram kodem shenigla alav hashchina v'amar lech lecha me'aretz poladitcha. So therefore, the Torah says nothing of the reason for selection when he's originally chosen. She'im kach hayamashma shelakach nigla elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had the Torah started off with Avram ish tzadik tamim haya b'darosa v'asalukim nisalech Avram, had it said something like that, so the implication would be that his selection had to do with his righteousness, that it was dependent upon his righteousness, that if he would cease to be righteous or his children would cease to follow in his ways, then that selection would be void. Shimkach, had it mentioned his righteousness, hayamash melech shakarach niglei lav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'am lo lech lecha me'artecha b'shvil zchuso shehizkir, v'im kein, hayazos ha'ava tli b'davar. The kol ava tluya b'davar, batel adavar, batel ha'ava. Whenever something is dependent upon reason, so it's dependent upon reason. Batel hadavar, batel ha'ava. Lefikach el bechira pratis yesh shinui. When we talk about selection as an individual, then it's subject to change. Velo el ha'bechira klalis. V'kevan shelo nizkar tzidkas Avram, kodem she'amar lelech lecha me'artecha, lo hayazeh b'shvil tzidkas Avram, ad shetomar im batel davar batel ava. So by not mentioning, by omitting Avraham's rectitude, so the Torah is telling us that the selection of Avraham Avinu was independent of reason. It wasn't because Avram was a tzaddik. It wasn't because he behaved in a particular way, such that if he or his children stopped behaving in that way, then the selection would be void. Rather, it was a selection that went beyond reasoning. It was Ahava She'ena Tluya Bidavar. And that is the nature of Bechiras Yisrael. Skipping to the next paragraph, where he contrasts that to Noach. Noach was only selected for his righteousness. There was no Ummah. And then the Maharal writes, cites Chazals that emphasize this point. And we'll just skip to the last paragraph. Ve'af shehaya gore ma'aseim letov olera. She Yosef had vekos o yigara. Of course, that doesn't mean that our behavior is irrelevant. If we do what we're supposed to do, Hashem will be closer to us. If we act in a wicked way, so we will be farther from him. That's not to say that our behavior is irrelevant, but what it means is that the etzem bechira of Klal Yisrael, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the most basic and fundamental level, that's something that goes beyond reason. And accordingly, we won't say batel hadavar, batel ha'ahava. Now, of course, Avraham Avinu was worthy and he was found to be worthy, but the Torah only discusses that later. And that's why the Torah omits all of Avram's early history. Avraham Avinu, in truth, was the greatest tzaddik to ever live, even before Avraham, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him when he was 70 years old or 75 years old, right? He was great. It's not that he just was a dumb person. But if the Torah had told us that, if the Torah had told us about Avraham Avinu's tzidkus before he was chosen, so that would imply that the chosenness was dependent upon that tzidkus. And that's why he quotes over here the pasuk that we say in Nehemiah every day, Atah Hashem Elokim asher bacharta be'Avraham le'tzeisu merakastim v'samtashma Avraham u'matzasas levalvo ne'aman lefanecha. The pasuk is telling us the order of things. You chose Avraham, took him out of Ur Kasdim, made his name Avraham, and then found him to be Naaman. It doesn't say, Avraham Avinu, Matzasas Levavo Naaman Lefanacha, Ubacharta Be'Avraham, Be'Otzeisim Ur Kasdim. The pasuk over here is going in order, as the Maral notes. Now, that doesn't mean, as we were saying before, that the selection of Avraham was random, void of any consideration. What it does tell us is that the Bechira goes beyond any particular reason. Like we said, it's not a Bechira Prati, but a Bechira Klali. And that's something that's very important, because it means that to a certain degree, we will never really fully understand why we were chosen or the nature of chosenness, because the Torah dafka omits the reason. The Torah dafka goes out of its way not to tell us why we were chosen. And that teaches us that there's something inscrutable about it, something that we won't be able to understand. The Torah's dafka not telling us the reason, as though to tell us this is something that you can't understand. So not necessarily that it's random, but it's something beyond reason. Now, one of the interesting things is that even though when you look at Tanakh, when you look at Torah Shebaal Peh, I think you'll find that the Torah never does give us a reason. And even in many places, Dafka tells us that it's not telling us the reason, as we'll see. When we look at Chazal, we find a very, very different picture. Chazal have many descriptions of Avraham's youth, how he independently discovered God, how he was Moser Nefesh and Ur Kasdim, and showed his allegiance to God, even at the cost of his possible life, by being willing to go into the Kivshan HaEsh. He broke his father's idols. All of this well before Hashem ever spoke to him. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, your next source, talks about how Avram Avinu independently discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lived in a world of idolatry. The Rambam even says, Hu haya oved imahem. He used to serve idolatry along with everybody else. In fact, parenthetically, that's the reason why the Ramban says that Avram's early history isn't mentioned, because he doesn't want to get into the details of the debates with the Ovdei Avodah Zarah that he had, and in fact, that he himself was initially an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's not the Mahalach we're working on now, but the point is, it's certainly true. Avram Avinu does independently discover God. He, upon discovering the truth in the Rambam over here, if you read it, it's actually quite interesting, tells us that this was a process. As a young child, already from the age of 3, started asking questions, but he doesn't actually fully come to the view of monotheism until he's 40 years old. So it's not like Avram Avinu, you know, woke up one day and said, "Ah, there's one God." It's a process of from the time he was weaned, he started asking, you know, the types of questions that little kids often ask. You know, why does anything exist? What's the cause for this movement? Why should there be a world if there's no creator of that world? Until the point that, as I said, he eventually fully embraces HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 40, and then begins bringing others under his wings, teaching and practicing monotheism. So how do we explain this? How do we explain, I think you could call it even a stira between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. It's not an overt stira, because it doesn't say fakert in the Torah Shebichtav, but certainly in terms of the message you get from Torah Shebichtav is that God's selection of Avram Avinu and the Jewish people is inscrutable. It is beyond reasoning. It's not something you could understand. Whereas when we look at Chazal, we see the opposite message. Avram Avinu was chosen because he was the greatest person ever to live. And the Midrashim tell us all about Avram Avinu's rectitude. And the truth is that we have the same parallel pattern in Sefer Dvarim, where I think you get the opposite message from the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. In Dvarim Perek Zayin, your next sources. So here we have the psukim omitting the reason for our selection. Ki am kadosh atah l'Hashem Elokecha, b'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha li'os lo l'am s'kula mikol amim asher al p'nei ha'adama. Lo merubchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivchar b'chem. Ki atem ha'me'an mikol amim. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamras ha'shvu'a asher nishbal avoseichem. Hotzi Hashem eschem b'yad chazaka v'yiftecha. Mibeis avadim miyad parao me'alch matrayim. So the simple reading of these psukim, I think, the Torah's dafka not telling us why we were chosen. Don't think it's because it's me'rubchem mikol amim. No. Why did Hashem choose you? Because he loves you. Why did he take you out of Egypt? Because he promised the forefathers. Doesn't tell us why we were chosen in any sense. If we look at Chazal, Rashi quotes this on this pasuk. It's a Gemara in Chulin, Peites, your next source. Chazal do the exact opposite. They look at these psukim that seem to be hiding any reason, and they see in it reason. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Komakom she'ata motze dvarav shel Rabbi Eliezer beno Rabbi Yosef Lili ba'agad ase aznacha ka'afar cheses. Lo me'rubchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Yisrael choshkani b'chem shafilu b'sha shani mashpia lachem gedula atem mimatim atzmechem lefanai. So what does it mean, lo me'rubchem? What does that mean? It means that I am choosing you because of your humility. That even when I give you greatness, you still are mematim es atzmechem. You make yourself small. You remain humble. Nasati Gdula LaAvram Amar Lefanai Vanochi Afer VeEfer LeMoshe VeAaron Amar VeNachnu Ma LeDavid Amar Vanochi Tolas VeLalish Avol Ovdei Kochavim Einon Kein Nasati Gdula LeNimrod Amar Hava Nivne Lanu Ir LeParo Amar Mi Hashem LeSancherev Amar Mi B'chol Elohei Aratzos VeGomer LeNevuchanetzar Amar Elal Barase Av L'Chira Melech Tzur Amar Moshav Elokim Yashavti B'Lev Yamim. So the Psukim, the Gemara is saying that is seeing in these Psukim a reason for selection. The Torah Shebachsav again hides the reason. The Torah Shebalpeh tries to find the reason in the very same Psukim. In terms of, and we find this pattern both with respect to the Bechir of Avraham as the founder of the nation, and in these Psukim with respect to the Bechira of Klal Yisrael as a nation. So how are we supposed to relate to this type of stira? So I think the wrong approach is to simply say, you know, we're going to ignore the text and follow Chazal. Chazal teach us how to learn the Psukim, but we're not meant to ignore the Psukim either. We still have to look at the Pshuto Shel Mikra and the message being conveyed in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. But at the same time, Chazal are telling us that you can't just read that Pshuto Shel Mikra. We have to understand something else. So what I think is going on here is that the Torah is telling us that there are these two elements to Bechiras Yisrael. There's a duality. We are chosen both for no reason, or if not no reason, for inscrutable reasons, reasons that are beyond us, reasons that we can't understand, reasons that are rooted in love, which in a certain sense, by definition, is not rational, but also for our reasons, because of our midos, because of Avram Avinu's tzidkos. And there are these two elements of chosenness, and we have to know of both. One is emphasized in the Torah Shebichsav, and one is emphasized in the Torah Shebalpeh. And I think a good way to perhaps relate to this is by considering the different metaphors used in Tanakh and in Chazal to depict the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the metaphors that's commonly used is, of course, that we are Hashem's children. V'amarta paro komar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. The Jewish people are my firstborn, but they're my child more than anything else. My child, my b'chor, we are we are children of God. Now, I believe that this imagery implies a relationship that's independent upon merit. A parent doesn't have to justify his love for his child. It's natural, and to a certain degree, it's irrational. There's nothing that the child does to deserve this love. It doesn't stem from the child's rectitude. The love is there well before the child does anything to even possibly deserve that love. And that's why the bond between parent and child is unbreakable. It can't be broken because it's not rooted in reason. At the same time, the Torah depicts the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as husband and wife. We're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many Pesukim emphasize this, perhaps most importantly, all of Shir HaShirim, which is based off of the idea that we are wed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us and describe how Matan Torah was the wedding between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The har suspended over us was in place of a chuppah, that the Torah was a ksuba or shtar kiddushin. So let's think about these two different relationships. So how does a spousal relationship differ So first of all, at least initially, when you marry someone, it's because of who they are, because of their qualities. You don't just randomly pick a wife. You choose someone that has certain qualities, certain things that you're looking for. It's not like the parent-child relationship. And the difference is, among other things, because the union is volitional. And moreover, it could be broken. If one partner fails to live up to that commitment, live up to those expectations, then the relationship could be broken. It's built off of reason, and to some degree, it's dependent upon reason. It might grow into Ahava She'eina Tlui B'Davar, that's true. But still, it's rooted in reason. So what I'm suggesting is that these mixed metaphors aren't a contradiction, because we are both his child and his spouse. We were chosen without reason, and we were chosen because of our greatness. By calling us the children of Hashem, so the Torah relates to the inscrutability of God's choice, while the allegory of the spouse relates to our righteousness being the basis for our selection. And I think this relates to another, thorny question in Tanakh, which is, can we ever be rejected? So when we look, going back to the original bris as described in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem makes with Avram a bris olam. In your next source, Bereishis Yud Zayin, right? Vakimosi es brisi beini uveinecha uvein zarachacha rechel ederosam levris olam. The eternal covenant reflects the idea that it is not based off of reason, like the Maharal said, so it's not subject or dependent upon reason. It's eternal. It's guaranteed, no matter what. Rashi, actually, in this week's Parsha, emphasizes the implications of that eternality. Rashi writes, "V'uya l'cha l'Elohim, l'fisha diber l'cha v'nishba l'avosecha shelo l'achlif ez zara'am b'umacher." Since Hashem has already promised us not to exchange us for another nation, Lekachu oser eschem b'shvuos halalu, shelo taknituhu acher shehu eino yachol lihibadel mimchem. Right? So therefore, to ensure that faithfulness, he binds you with these oaths, with these promises, even punishments, because since he can't separate from you, so you have to be bound. In a certain sense, I don't need to have all these oaths with someone with whom my relationship is volitional, because I could simply say that, if you're not what I want, so I'm leaving, bye. But if your relationship is eternal and guaranteed, so then you need something you have to relate to it differently. And that's why Hashem guarantees his redemption to us. We have it, for example, at the end of Parshas Bechukotai, after all the brachos and klalos, Hashem guarantees redemption. And we have that in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Nitzavim. The Torah talks about how after all the brachos and klalos and all the story of history, Hashem says, I'm going to redeem you in the end. Redemption is guaranteed no matter what, no matter how badly you sin, no matter how long the exile is. But ultimately, there will be redemption because our relationship is eternal. It can't be broken. You will not be cast off in exile. Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo bavor shmo agadol, ki oil Hashem lasos eschem lo la'am. And even though we will be punished and we will suffer for our sins, but hinei enei Hashem elokim b'mam lachacha ta'av ishmadeti osam al pnei adamah, Efes kilo hashmed ashmed es Beis Yaakov ne'um Hashem. So I will never utterly destroy Beis Yaakov. They will ultimately be redeemed. The Rambam in his Igeres Teiman very, very powerfully expresses this idea. Take a look. This, of course, was a letter written to the Jewish people living in Teiman who were suffering from tremendous persecution, grappling with a false Messiah. And the Rambam really brings tremendous chizuk to them. In fact, from then on, the Jewish people of Yemen accepted upon themselves the Rambam as their posek, because he restored them in the days of the Ramban writes that in his days, they even added his name to Kaddish. They wrote, they used to say in Yemen, B'chaychon u'b'yomeychon v'chay d'rab n'moshe ben maimon. Imagine that, right? So the Rambam it writes, and you see sort of a very, very interesting side of the Rambam in these letters. But anyway, take a look here, because he talks to us about the nature of Bechira over here. Umipnei she'yichad osanu abori b'mitzosav v'chukosav v'his ba'ara ma'alasenu azulasenu v'chlalusav u'mishpatav shenemar migoy gadol ashelo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim v'gomer kin'unu hagayim kulam al dasenu kinagdola. So first of all, he's telling us, you know, what is the source of anti-Semitism. It's Bechiras Yisrael, he's telling us. By Yilchatsu Malchayim Bishvila Le'ar'er Aleinu Sitna Ve'eva Uritzonam Lehilachem Ba'ashem Uldelasos Meriva Imo Velokim Hu Umi Ravlo. It's interesting, Rambam tells us that the war against the Jewish people is not just a war against them as a people, but it's really a war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we say in Al Hanisim. Ve'ech'en l'chazman me'az shenitna lanu Torah ad zmanenu zeh shekol melech oved avodah zarah gover o machriach o misgaber o anas she'en tchilas kavanaso v'da'ato listor torasenu. The lafoch dasenu beones benitzachon v'cherev, kemo Amalek v'sisra v'sancherev v'nebuchadnezzar v'titus v'adrinos v'harbik yotzei b'hen. Zehu hanoa ha'echad mishnei hanoim she'yiskavnu bo l'natzeach achefetz aloki. V'hine, pe'er Yishayahu alav ha'shalom v'odianu mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'um hazos kol yimei ha'yos Abagalos, call me Shiala b'machshavto lehizgaber alaha v'lanos osa efshel olasos v'yatzliach. So Yeshayahu told us that's the way it's going to be in Galus. People that persecute us will succeed oftentimes. Aval b'achariso yishlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshiach v'yasir mimena chulya v'cheva. It's only going to be temporary and eventually we will be redeemed. Sheken amar Yeshayahu Chazos kasha haged li habogade bogade bashodade shodade alai elam tsuri madai kol anchasai shavti. The chen eftichanu habori alide neviav shalonovad velo yase imanu klaya. The prophets all emphasize this point that we will never be utterly destroyed. The lo nasur li olam milios uma chasida. We will never stop being that Uma Chasida. We will never stop being that Uma Chasida. Ukemo she'efshar she'izbatel mitzi'uso shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu kein i'efshar she'novad v'nisbatel min olam. An incredible mashal. Just like God's existence is necessary, he can't not exist. It's impossible to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too our existence. Shekein amar malachi Ani Hashem lo shinisi, v'atem b'nei Yisrael lo kilisem. This is the pasuk that we talked about last week in a very different context, but it's quite incredible, right? Just like I Hashem will never change, which is a necessary truth, the Rambam tells us, so too Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. In the world, at the very least, we are a necessity. God made it such. From the very beginning of Bria Sa'olam, Yisrael Yisrael sh'nikru reishis. U'kamo kein, Bisarenu v'hemitzosanu yizbarach shemo shenimna Etzlenu limos osanu b'chlalenu. Hashem will never utterly destroy, abhor us or despise us as a nation. V'afal pishenach yisei, even though we may and we have angered him at times, v'navar al mitzvosav, and violated his mitzvos, shekein kasav, kol amar Hashem, im yimdu shamayim milamala v'yachkaru mosdei ha'aretz l'mata gamani em as b'chol zera Yisrael. Al kol asher asu ne'um Hashem. Ukinyan zeh ba'inu heftichanu b'torah al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, shekein kasuv af gamzos b'yosam eretz oyveim, lo ma'astim lo ga'altim l'chalosam l'hafer v'yisitam ki ani Hashem elokeichem. So no matter what we do, no matter how badly we act, we might suffer, we might be persecuted, but ultimately we will never be rejected. Our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, it's guaranteed, as his existence himself. It's an incredible mashal. And that was the chizuk that the Rambam was giving to the suffering Jews of Teman. But it's one that is so powerful. So even though it's true that we have all these sources that tell us that he will never abandon us, that our relationship is guaranteed, we also seem to have lots of psukim that imply the other way. Just consider what we read in last week's parsha, which ends very differently than the Tochacha in Vayikra. In Kisavo, the psukim keep on emphasizing, seemingly, that that we will be, or we may be, cast aside. Uva alacha kol haklos ha'ela u'dafucha v'sigucha ad hisham dach. And unlike the Tochacha in Vayikra that ends with the promise of Geula, in last week's Parsha does not. Now, to some degree, that Geula does come, and that guarantee of Geula does come in this week's Parsha. But the Tochacha, at the very least, doesn't end with that promise. And in fact, there are many psukim that do seem to emphasize that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon our worthiness. Take a look at the pasuk in Yeshayahu that you have over here. Nashamu misilo shavas over orach hefer bris ma'as arim lo chashav enosh. Vayimas Hashem b'chol zera Yisrael, vayanem, vayitnem b'yad shosim, ad asher hishlicham mipanav. And perhaps the most damning of them all is the psukim in Yirmiyahu paragimel, which seem to imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very least, could divorce us. Lemor, hein yishalach, this is paragimel, pasuk aleph, again in your sheets, hein yishalach ish es ishto v'alcha meitov ha'isal ish acher, hayashuv eleha od, halo chanov techanef ha'aretz ha'hi, ve'at zanis re'im rabim, v'shuv elayin u'm Hashem. If a couple is married and they separate, and then the wife is with another man, so there's an isser of machzir grushaso. And certainly if she's mizaneh. And Hashem says, look, Yisrael, you have done this. It's probably referring to Avodah Zarah. You have been an adulterous spouse. You've left me and you've lived with other people. Can you come back? Va'ireh. Ki al odos asher niyafa mishuva Yisrael shelachtiha v'etein es sefer krisuseha eleha. I gave her a divorce. I divorced Yisrael. Sefer krisus. Because of her adultery. It's talking about Yisrael. The lo yara bagda bogeda Yehuda chosa. And Yehuda, her sister, didn't see what happened. Vatelach vatizan ganhi. And then she went and she was Mizana. Doesn't say explicitly he divorced all of Bnei Yisrael, though it somewhat sounds that way. Maybe we'll get back to these psukim. But certainly the psukim emphasize that there's the possibility of divorce. So which one is it? Is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed? Or is it contingent upon our behavior, such that if we are unworthy, then the relationship will be abrogated, much like a Sefer Krisus, like a bill of divorce described in these psukim? So perhaps the answer is exactly what we've been saying, which is that there are two aspects of our relationship. There's the aspect of our relationship which is dependent upon reason, and there's the aspect of our relationship which is beyond reason. The aspect of our relationship described in Parshas Lech Lecha, and the aspect of the relationship depicted in Chazal, the spousal metaphor and the parent-child metaphor. So these psukim in Yirmiyahu, which are depicting the spousal metaphor, that element of our relationship indeed imply that it could be terminated, that it's shayach sefer krisos. Whereas the other aspect of our relationship, the parent-child relationship, is one that can never be broken, that's guaranteed, and that's eternal. And in fact, the Gemara in Kiddushin makes this very point. Your next source from Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, Banim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, Bisman Shatem Noagim Minag Banim, Atem Kriyim Banim, Ein Atem Noagim Minag Banim, Ein Atem Kriyim Banim, Dir Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda thought that we're only banim when we're acting like children, but Remeir disagrees. Remeir Omer, Bein kach uvein kach atem kriyim banim. No, you are children no matter what you do. Shenamar banim sichlim hema. Even when you're sichlim, you're still banim. Ve'omer banim lo emun bam. Ve'omer zera mireyim banim mashchisim. Right? We might be mireyim. We might be mashchisim. We're still banim. Ve'omer vayab b'mkom asher yomar lahem lo ami atem. Yomar lahem b'ni kelchai. And in fact, quite interestingly enough, even though you might say this is Machlokas and Agada, we shouldn't paskin. The Rashba writes, we paskin like Remeir, even though usually we would actually paskin like Rebbe against Remeir, but Remeir brings all these psukim to support his reasoning. And this teaches us that because we are banim, we're always banim. Even when we're banim ashchisim, we're still banim. And therefore, what we're explaining is the parent-child aspect of our relationship is guaranteed and can't be broken. And the Rashba says this in the context of a discussion about how to treat a mishumet, someone who chooses to abandon his Judaism in favor of another faith. And the Rashba writes that this mishumet is still b'chlal banim, k'divrei Remeir, b'shili perakamet kiddushin. V'afal gad Remeir, Rebbe Yehuda, alach Rebbe Yehuda, hacha, Remeir k'rai kadayik. And that's because we were saying this aspect of our relationship is guaranteed. It can't be broken. And this relates, again, I don't want to get into this too much, we don't have so much time left, but to There are many halachic expressions of this dichotomy. On the one hand, we have the idea that a Jew can never lose his Judaism, his Jewishness. The Gemara Nivamos says, "Tavu v'Allah ha'eu ki Yisrael l'chol dvar v'may hilchasa dihader bei mekadesh bas Yisrael Yisrael mumer karina bei the kiddush of kiddushin." Someone who converts to Judaism correctly, but certainly someone born Judaism, Jewish, cannot lose their Jewishness. A person might convert and then decide he's not interested and go back. No, he's still Jewish. He is a din of Yisrael Mumer, but Yisrael Mumer is Kiddush HaKiddushin. The Gemara famously derives this idea from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu by Achan, that Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael, even after a Yisrael has sinned and done the worst things, and Achan did the worst things, but still, he's called Yisrael. And it's interesting, I don't think we have time, but Rashi in a number of tshuvos quotes this Gemara, lahalacha, again, even though it's an agadic Gemara, it would seem, to teach us that the din of a mishumud or a mumar is still that of a yid. At the same time, we also see the opposite idea in halacha. With respect to many halachos, we say that Yisrael ke'akom l'chol davar, that if you reject your Judaism, you have the din of a guy. Your shechita is possible. According to many Rishonim, you could charge ribis to a meshumid. He writes a Torah scroll and it's burnt. He's again, the lashon of the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch is momer ke'akam l'chol davar. He's the din of a guy. So which one is it, right? Which one is it? Is it dino kigai, or do we say Yisrael ka'akam l'chol davar? So the answer is, like we were saying, that the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu has this duality in it, this dichotomy. Both are true. We are banim and we are nashim. We are, now, if we had time, we could try to talk about why in certain aspects of our relationship we say Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. And in other aspects we say mumer ke'akom l'chol davar. Now is not the time to get into the pratim. But fundamentally we see both in drush and in halacha as well, because they're both there. The Rashi, I think, in Bechoros, they have over here, alludes to the complexity over here in when he says it, right? This is again the din that Yisrael, the convert who goes back still is a din of Yisrael, Hareu ki Yisrael mumar, the lo aminan de lehave ovik kochavim gamor, ki lelonis gayer. In other words, the Gemara saying he's not a guy gamor. But in a certain sense, he is a guy. In a certain sense, he's not. There's an aspect of our relationship which is dependent upon our willingness to be Jewish, such that if we reject our Jewishness, then we don't have a din Yisrael. And with respect to others, it's guaranteed and eternal. I think that to summarize, what we've seen is that the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complex. Many of us will say tonight or tomorrow the famous poem by Rebbe Lazar Azilkri, Yidid Nefesh, Av HaRachaman, Mishoch Avdech HaRitzonecha. In that one line, you see the multiple metaphors, where the Yidid Nefesh, where the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is our father, Av HaRachaman. We are his servants, Mishoch Avdech HaRitzonecha. All of them are true at once. We're his Eved, we're his child, we're his Yadid. In the Tfilos on Yom Kippur especially, we emphasize all these messages. Anu Amecha v'ata, v'ata Malkeinu, Anu Banecha v'ata Avinu, etc., etc. There is no human analog to this type of relationship. It can't be captured by one metaphor precisely because of its complexity, like we're saying. And in a sense that that's not something that we can ever fully understand, but it's still something that we have to try to the extent that we're able to understand. So in the remaining couple of minutes, I just want to make a couple of small related haros related to this. Obviously, one question I think that I guess modern people wonder about the nature of Bechira, which we haven't really answered yet. In the next year, I think we'll address a little more precisely. But the question is Judaism racist? So I saw an interesting quote from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. You have that in the next source, which I thought was very interesting. And Rabbi Yaakov basically says that even though we do claim, certainly, that we are special, as the Psukim say, we're the Am Segula, but it's different than any other group that claims racial superiority. And Rabbi Yaakov basically says, you see this in a couple of ways. First of all, because the Torah always embraces the idea that we all stem from Adam. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, nobody could say my father is greater than your father. And the second point, well, let's read it inside. V'emes bedorenu ra'inu shehagermanim yimach shemam ta'anu ta'inazu. Abba Gadol Me'avicha. So the Germans said, you know, we are racially superior. Elishahem Omrim. So, right, so the question is, isn't that what we're saying? We're saying, you know, we are B'nai Avram of Yitzchak Yaakov, Abba Gadol Me'avicha. She says there's a difference. Shehem Omrim, Shegam Yisrael, To'anim, Shehem Hageza Meshubach Bioser, Mevim Raya, Mimashanu Omrim, B'tfilaseinu Atabachatanu Kolomim. They say, you're saying the same thing, right? We also say Atabachatanu. Avalachuva Etzleinu, He, Shevade Kulanu B'nai Adam Arisho. In the end of the day, no, we are all humans. Ella, She'avos Hishtalmu V'Hisalu Kol Kach Ad She'karav Hu She'hinenu K'min Acher L'gamre She'kol She'en Bo Gimel Simanim Halalu Einu Roi L'Dabik U'Mazu. As the Gemara says in Yivamos, right, Rachmanim Baishanu Gom L'Chasadim V'Lachain Be'emes Kol Mi She'rotze L'Kabel Al Atzmo Es HaMitzvos Yachol lehistapeach el am hash al am Yisrael, ki anachnu lo toanim shegizenu mishubach yoser ukiilu anachnu miyuchadim betaba. We're not claiming that we are naturally better. Kiilu haysakach machshav tanu lo hayinu mekabel gerim. If that were really true, if this was something that was racial, then we wouldn't be able to accept Gerim. We wouldn't say Gerim are equal. Mikol umos olam. Ela she'anu sovrim, she'anu nifcharnu mikol ha'umos, mishum she'anu b'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, she'nis'alu al yidei kiyum ha'mitzvos, lidei madrega shebo ha'adam miskasher el boro, u'mizdabek bo, v'lachein kol ha'rotze litztarif u'lekabel alav ol toro mitzvos yachol asos kein. So what's he saying? He's saying our special status emerged from the fact that we're descendants of the Avos, who perfected themselves above all other human beings. And if anybody wishes to join us, as long as they accept the Torah, they're welcome to. In other words, if Judaism were racist, then someone was a different race couldn't join the Jewish people. We are saying that we have a special mission, and our mission is different because of what our forefathers did. But it's different than any racist theory, because we welcome anyone who wants to join, as long as they want to be a part of this bris, as long as they are willing to accept upon themselves that yoke that we have accepted upon ourselves. So that is one ha'ara I wanted to mention. There's more to say on that, but I just want to make a couple other ha'aros. Second ha'ara relates to the idea that I was saying before, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that seems to imply that God can divorce the Jewish people. So we said, well, no. It's not really true, because we also have this bris olam, and the resolution is that there's this duality in our chosenness, one which is dependent upon reason and one which isn't. But it's worthwhile to add, at the very least, note that this issue is a fundamental issue which was a central theme, especially in the Middle Ages, where the Christians claimed that, you know, Jewish people were once God's people, but he rejected them, he divorced them, and now he's chosen someone else instead. If you look, for example, at the Ramban Sefer Geula, that is the central theme about how Hashem can't divorce us and never will divorce us, and that our bond is eternal. So the question is, how do we deal with that pasuk that we saw from Yirmiyahu? And it's actually quite interesting, because even though the pasuk in Yirmiyahu implies that he could, and maybe that he did divorce us, we have another pasuk in Yeshayahu, you have over here from Parak Nun, which sounds like the opposite. Ko amar Hashem, eiza sefer krisus imchem asher shalachtia, omi minoshai asher macharti eschem lo, hein bavonosechem nimkartem lipshichem shulcha imchem. Right, so Hashem says, where is your get, which I have put her away, right? In other words, I have not divorced you. I have not divorced you. So is there a stira between Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu? So one way to answer the question is saying that, well, Yirmiyahu doesn't say he divorced Yisrael. Well, I guess it says he's divorced Yisrael, but didn't say divorced Yehuda. But it doesn't really say, even there, that the divorce was carried out. But I don't know if that's so comforting, because it still leaves open the possibility. But I think the pshat is, like we were saying, that it's because we have that other aspect of our relationship, the parent-child bond, then we can never be separated. And even, therefore, the spousal bond is guaranteed. And maybe Chazal are alluding to this. It's a very interesting medrash. You have it over here in the Yalkut, which actually asks this question. You know, how do we relate these two psukim? So take a look. Asida Knesset Yisrael Shetomer Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Kvar Hichtavta Lemor Hein Yishlach Es Ishto V'Gomer. In other words, Klal Yisrael, go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, you know, doesn't it say that you divorced us? So Amar La, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say back to Klal Yisrael, Klum Hichtavti Ela Ish. The Pasuk only says that if a man divorces his wife, V'alo Kvar Ne'emar, Kikel anochi velo ish. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm God. I'm not an ish. V'chi grushim atem li beis Yisrael? No. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Ko amar Hashem, ezer sefer krisus imchem. So there's a beautiful piece in the Drashos Beis Halevi, which you have over here, which sees almost two answers in the Medrash. First of all, the Medrash is saying that the law that says that you can't remarry after infidelity applies only to man, not God. That's the first point the Medrash says. But then he says, anyway, he didn't actually divorce us. And that's what we see from the book of Yeshayahu. And he adds very, very beautifully that this relationship doesn't allow for divorce. The way the Beis Halevi compares it to is that Yisrael's kedushas haguf, which is inherent holiness, one which can never be broken, right? The halacha is in the Dine Me'ilah that when it comes to kedushas haguf, yesh mo'al achar mo'al. In other words, even if there is Me'ilah, the kedusha isn't lost. Me'ilah, there could be further Me'ilah. And we actually saw last week the Maral who says that the importance of kaf alem har kegigas is so important here, because even though when we chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did so volitionally, we said nasa v'nishma, but Hashem also forced us, kaf alem har kegigas, because in that sense, it's eternal, it's guaranteed, it can never be broken, and therefore, that's sort of what holds us together no matter what. And I think, again, we don't have time to read it inside, but if you take a look at the Rashi in his Hakdamat Shir Shirim, which you have next, he sort of highlights this point that the parent-child relationship even shapes the spousal relationship such that it's guaranteed. So we're out of time for today, but perhaps going into Rosh Hashanah, this is certainly a very, very important idea to keep in mind, because we go into Rosh Hashanah and on the one hand, we stand before God as individuals. like sheep being counted by their shepherd. But we also remember that we're part of something so much bigger. And to the extent that we could emphasize that aspect of our identity, that we're more than just individuals, but we're part of the Ummah HaYisraelis. So then, since the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is one that's eternal and one that's guaranteed and one that is not subject or dependent upon reason, to the extent that we could say, B'solch Ami Anuchi Yosheves, so then we are going to be zoche to that guarantee of redemption and savior. So B'siyata D'shmaya, if we're able to keep that in mind, we'll be able to be zoichen din both as yechidim and as a tzibur. So I wish you all a very good Shabbos, and Be'ezras Hashem will continue to be ma'ayan into this sugya from a very different perspective next time.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So how do the justifications for the Bechiras Avraham, like,